So the drought was severe, and the church decided to call a community prayer moment, inviting all the churches to come meet on their church lawn, and they would pray for rain. Minister called it for Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Everyone was scheduled to gather, and they would pray for rain. So minister had little pulpits set up out there, chairs, and they were ready. Minister's watching, everybody comes, crowd gathered, and then the minister called off the prayer meeting. The elders were shocked, and they asked the minister why. And the minister said, "No one here believes in prayer." And the elder said, "What do you mean, no one here believes in prayer? Look, we've all gathered." To which the minister then said, "Yes, we've all come, but not one of you brought an umbrella." Praying for rain, and don't bring an umbrella. Get it? Well, this week is our National Day of Prayer Week. That was scheduled to be on Thursday. And we, here in the Williamsport Ministerium, we have ours on Sunday night. We pair it up with a choral fest. Our choir is part of that, and other choirs from other churches. Then there's two mass choirs. Everyone gathers together for two mass events, you know, where they sing together. And we're going to share that tonight, starting at 7 o'clock at St. James Brethren Church. In my column for the newsletter, if you haven't read it yet, it's in the back there, but don't get it yet. Get it after church. But I'll give you a synopsis. I'm talking about spiritual disciplines. And today, or this month, is the discipline of prayer. Because it is something we need to engage in. At a very basic level, prayer is a conversation we have with God. Notice it's a conversation. It's not just us talking. It's also us listening to see what God will do in our lives. It's sharing what's on our heart as a divine exchange. We lift it up to heaven. God then turns back around and through his Spirit connects with our spirit to give us answers, to give us comfort, to give us direction and guidance. As we share, God moves into our lives. And as God moves into our lives, moves into our heart, and becomes our motivating factor. The scripture I chose for prayer for this Sunday comes out of the Chronicles of the Kings. I love saying that. It sounds so official. The Chronicles of the Kings, this is the second book of the Chronicles of the Kings. Interestingly enough, most of the Chronicles of Kings are what kings did. It's really kind of boring and dry. I didn't say that, did I? It's really kind of dry. It's difficult to read, except for this verse. And this verse is when the temple was completed. Solomon had done the work of this magnificent building and then took time to rest. And during his sleep time, God came to him in a vision. This scripture, which is the most beloved scripture in both of the Chronicle books, is what occurred in that vision that was given to Solomon. The vision occurred in the 24th year of his reign. That's when he finished the temple. And it was about, give or take, based on when King David ruled, it's about the year 947 BC. In this vision, God gives King Solomon tools as to how we're to live. Live in the midst of the things that come our way. The first part of this vision talks about what if bad things happen. All right? What could bad things happen in that society? Easy. What if there's no rain? And for an agricultural society, that would be devastating. Or what if locusts decide to come out from nowhere and eat up all the crops in an agricultural society? Once again, that would be devastating. What if there was a plague among the people? You know, people were dying randomly for whatever was going on. That would be devastating. Those are the issues of the day of Solomon. In our day and time, we have these what ifs as well. What if this happens? For instance, it could be, what if there's an illness in your life? Or the death of a loved one? What if you lose your job? Or the relationship you counted on failed? Or what if you didn't have enough air conditioning? What if the energy prices are too high and you can't afford them? What if, and we could go down the list, you get the idea. We all have these what ifs. And the issues of Solomon's day and the issues of our modern day are essentially the same. We've just interchanged different words. These are issues and problems that affect all humans. They affect us, whether, you know, we're going to face life and there's kindness in it or there's cruelty in it. We all see that. Or whether we face life and there's believers who build us up or unbelievers who tear us down. We all see that. In fact, in the New Testament, It's said that it rains on both we who are just and we who are unjust. The tragedy occurs to all of us. Jesus even highlighted that idea. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. So what happens in Solomon's day, what's happening today, this is the fabric, sadly, of the human condition. That we face tragedy. That we will face tribulation. That there are problems in our life. There's problems in our nation. There's problem in our interpersonal relationships. The question is, what to do about it? In our modern day time, there's this fallacy that's running out there. That once you believe in Jesus Christ, all your problems go away. That's one of the biggest lies given out there. Because in reality, we don't have a blessed life any more than the person who doesn't believe. We have a blessed destination, but not necessarily an easy life. So the question is, what do we do about it? All these issues that affect us, that impact us, that drag us down. And here in 2 Chronicles, along with other places in Scripture, it highlights a tool that we have available to us. A very powerful tool. The tool of prayer. Effective prayer, here according to chapter 7, verse 14. Listen for it. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, then I will listen from heaven. Notice the key of prayer. It's the issue of humility. That we go to God in prayer, humbly presenting ourselves before God. So what does this mean? To humble ourselves in order to pray. It means that we literally are to say, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm unable to function in this life without your help, without the help of the people. I cannot do this on my own. That's a moment of humility. But also the moment of humility comes when we say, God, whatever you give, I'm prepared to accept. That's the other aspect of humility. You see, God answers prayer. Do y'all know that? Every prayer that you offer up, God has answered it. God sometimes said, yes, I agree with you. That's fantastic. God sometimes says, maybe later, not right now. I've got this prepared, but you have to wait. And sometimes God says, no. No to your prayer. It's interestingly enough, if every prayer that we offer to God, we want a yes for, we deny who God is. See, we set ourselves up. When we say, God, you have to answer my prayer in my way, in my fashion, we literally are saying, God, first off, I just want to use you as a big bank in the sky. I'm going to grab what I want, and I want to come down here. By the way, that's not humility. That's the ultimate form of arrogance. To think that God should serve us. Also, we deny the fact that God is the ruler of history. You know, God's present with us right now at this moment. But God was present with us in the past. And God, who we declare is eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, who spans all time frames, God will be and already is with us in the future. And so, when we lift up a prayer and we expect God to answer in our limited thought exactly what we want in the future, we deny the fact that God already knows that something in the future may not be good for us. It may be incredibly detrimental for us. So when God says no, God says, I have something different prepared for you in the future. And humility says, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God at his goodness. I'm going to trust that God is that great. He already knows what is better for me, even though I ask for something else. All right, now you parents, we do this all the time. You know that? When your child was little and they wanted to reach into the oven to grab the cookies, blazing hot, what did you say? Oh, yeah, go ahead, I don't care. You said, no! You gave your child an answer of no. And why? Because we love our children. We don't want them to hurt. We as parents, sometimes when our children climb too high, we're like, no, 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 get down, get down. We give an answer of no. Because for them to continue on their current course is detrimental. It's destructive. And God, as our parent in heaven, does the exact same thing for us. That sometimes God says, no, this is not good for you. This is not the path you need to be on. This path is ultimately destructive. And this is where humility comes in. of yielding ourselves to God because we know that God is that great, that God is that good, and that God doesn't want us to be miserable by giving us something we think we need now, and in reality, it would ruin our lives. Garth Brooks has an amazing song out called Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. And in the song, he tells a story about how he desperately wanted to have this one young lady back in high school as his wife. And the story goes that he's back for a homecoming. They're back at the homecoming football game. And he and his current wife, the one that God led him to, meet this girl in high school that he just thought he had to have. And the song goes like this. She, meaning his high school sweetheart, was the one that I'd wanted for all times. And each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this one wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. And then the chorus. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayer. The song goes on like this. She, meaning his high school sweetheart, wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams. And I could tell that time had changed me, and in her eyes, too, it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. So sometimes when you offer a prayer to God, and God says no, that's God knowing what's in store for you in the future and bringing you a better instead of this moment. Now, the power of prayer is found in this relationship we have. See, every time you talk to God, and by the way, we advocate how many times you'd pray in a day. You pray without ceasing. It should be a gift to God all day long. You should pray while you're driving. You should pray at work. You should pray when you encounter that person that makes your heart flutter, and pray whenever that person you meet that makes your heart go, oh no, not him again. You should pray whether you're taking a test or you've got back the results from the test. You should pray before you go to bed and pray when you wake up. You get the idea. It's just sometimes when you pray, please don't close your eyes because if you're driving, that would be a bad thing. Even if you're on cruise control. So the idea is that we're to pray without ceasing. And that is a relational moment. That when we're in this relationship with God, we then find out things about what God wants for us that are incredibly beneficial for us. You see, prayer does change things because it changes us. When we're in relationship with the Holy One of the universe, the Pure One of the universe, the one who's got all of it in control and all of it in command, God relays to us how we are to be better and how we're to be transformed and how we're to be who God created us to be, not like with brown hair and brown eyes. No. With a love for other people and a deep compassion for those that we like and those we don't like. When we yield ourselves to God in prayer, when we humble ourselves, when we allow God to inform us and guide us, we're allowing God to transform us. And the end result is we become less self-centered. And wouldn't that be great in our world today? So many people less concerned about their opinion and more concerned about God's opinion. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have more people concerned about reaching out to others instead of concerned about, I want for me? That's what happens when we go into prayer. God makes us less self-centered and more other-centered. That we actually are concerned about what's going on in other people's lives and that we'll be connected to them. Walter Knight, one of the commentators' books that I use to get stories from. In fact, this story and the next one come out of it. He wrote, prayer does not always change things, but it always changes us. Things outward may continue to be the same, but if we are changed, outward things do not matter greatly. And that's the power of this. You know, it's amazing how you can see the world differently because you've taken a slightly different perspective on it. Because God allowed you to see differently. Because God has changed us. Now, the closing prayer comes from a Civil War soldier. And the soldier prayed for all these wonderful things. and didn't get what he wanted, but at the same time got exactly what he needed. The prayer goes like this. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of humans. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I'd hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all humans most richly blessed. That comes from this relationship we have with God, this prayer relationship. It is the most powerful tool we have at our disposal. I hope you realize that. Because it is the most powerful tool used to change our viewpoint in the world today. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord God, what a gift it is to know your love, that you want to be in part of our lives. You want to be deeply involved with who we are. So the end result is that we can fulfill your purpose by fulfilling who we are here on earth. Thank you that in prayer we push aside those unnecessary thoughts and things, that in prayer we pick up those wonderful gifts of humility, the gift of peace, the gift of patience. In prayer, we shove aside all those items that drag us down, and in prayer, we are able to pick up all those items that draw us closer to you. We thank you, Lord God, that you didn't ask us to be better. You gave us a relationship in which we can be better. And it's in the relationship we have with Jesus that we offer these prayers to you. Amen. 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 Amen.